show you tell me it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. We'll be with you live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network on this Thursday, 25th of January, 2007. A couple items here. I'm bringing up Jack and Margie Flynn here in just a couple of minutes. Victory battle, little note here. War continues as Plan B slithers. Also, our lawsuit moves forward. This is an update on the TxDOT and the new toll authority. Evidently, Monday at about 10 p.m., a formal vote was cast to shelve or pull out of Phase 2 tolls from the Campo. So that is some good news. We'll have follow-up on that. Also, let me dig this out here. Oh, and before I forget here, every once in a while, people surprise us. We were just delivered a pizza from Carmine Pizza in Hutto, and I'll tell you what, I've never seen a pizza. How big was that pizza? 28-inch pizza. And it was 8 pieces, and I didn't even see the pizza when it came in. I was just told that it was arriving about 3 o'clock. Well, about 10 to 4, the person showed up with a pizza. I didn't see it. It was in the conference room. And I said, well, geez, I barely have a minute to choke down a couple of pieces. And I kept hearing people say, a couple of pizzas? No, a 28-inch pizza, one slice. It took me 10 minutes to eat the thing. So anyhow, thank you. They are supporters, evidently, of the network, and they like the programming. So I'll do a plug for you guys since you did such a nice thing for us. Carmine Pizza, 409 West Front Street in Hutto, Texas. Phone number 512-846-1500. And, Daniel, they make all their own stuff there. All the pasta, all the pizza doughs, the sauces, everything. And I was just told that they're going to start making their own wine. Ooh. It's a top WAP joint. It's a great Italian joint. So 409 West Front Street in Hutto, Texas, 512-846-1500. And thank you very much. You've got the best pizza I've tasted here in Central Texas. So there that is. Another thing, and I'm going to ask Jack and Margie about this when they come up here in just a couple of minutes. I don't know if you're aware of this, folks, but guess what the states are doing right now? Selling off the state lotteries to foreign interests. That's right. Illinois and Indiana are taking steps to sell their state lotteries as a quick fix for cash-starved state budgets. Ironically, these are the same states that are doing the toll roads also. And in Michigan, they're saying that, well, our budget's $800 million out of whack. Well, since 1972, the lottery in Michigan alone has brought in $13 billion. Now, they say that they have an $800 million deficit, but guess what the lottery raised last year? $686 million. So what Michigan is looking at is selling the state lottery off. And they'll get upfront money of $1 billion, which is a couple of years of regular income, and they're going to get payments of $200 million, only one-third, well, actually, less than a third of what they're pulling in every year. Oh, and by the way, those funds were supposed to be earmarked for the state. I guess the state school budget disappears when they're looking at this thing. So more fascism coming your way. We'll be right back.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Have you heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux, an infected wound, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have Jack and Margie Flynn online. Are you folks there?
Yes, we are.
We certainly are, John. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, sir. How are you?
Just full of chalk news. Chock full of news every day. Most of it's not good.
No, it's not.
Did you guys just hear what I said about the Michigan considering selling off their state lottery?
Yes, I heard it. Jack, didn't he just joined us now? You might want to repeat the high points for him.
Yeah, and I just ran through some numbers. Since 72, Jack, the Michigan lottery has raised nearly $13 billion. And supposedly this was supposed to go into the school systems. The state pays for the public school system anyhow. But they raised $686 million last year, 2006. They're trying to strike a deal up here. At least Illinois is hoping to get $10 billion from private investors for its state lottery. The new owners would receive all revenue and profits for the next 75 years. And Indiana is doing the same later this month. Officials then expect to raise more than $1 billion up front and annual payments of $200 million. But let's do the math here. If the state is raising over $1 billion in 2 years period, then why are they trying to sell it off?
Good question. Of course, in a corrupt, evil corporate nation, everything is for sale, including the people, and that's exactly what this government has done. It has sold the people, it deals in selling of people all the time, and it's just a matter of business, John. That's the way it is.
But this is state-sponsored gambling. If I went out there and started my own gambling establishment, I would be shut down. They would throw me so far in jail they'd have to pump air into me and probably send my food in on a conveyor belt. I mean, this is absolutely insane.
Yeah, well, there's no equal treatment under the law. In other words, the government is king, and as far as government is concerned, it will remain king, and the people are serfs and slaves over, and will remain as serfs and slaves until the people get up off their backsides, recognize reality, recognize the truth, become patriots, and change the venue. Until that happens, this nonsense will go on and on and on ad infinitum.
Well, as I see the problem, Jack and Margie, that we have the Matrix out there. They have created their own system.
You're right.
We have federal judges at their will and their whim, taking a look at the Constitution and just doing anything they want. Let me give you listeners out there an example. On the Second Amendment, we all know what it says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, in a case, United States versus Emerson, and this was in 2001, a federal circuit court of appeals finally recognized that the Second Amendment was an individual right. Now, heretofore, previously, all federal courts of appeals, with the exception of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, had held that the Second Amendment was a collective right that only applied to the National Guard and Highway Patrol and the like. Now, federal judges simply rewrote the Second Amendment to suit their own personal predilections, though a process we call judicial activism, or probably better put, judicial construction.
Or what I call judicial treason. And if the people do nothing about it, John, the situation remains as it remains. See, the people have a responsibility. American people are good people. They have good hearts, but they have weak minds. They're lazy. They're not interested in doing anything. They're interested in going along to get along. They're interested in the old lady, the old man, the beer, and the television, and that's about it, and the occasional football game, okay? Now, I love football. I play football. Played a lot of sports in my life, but it's a game, for God's sakes. Life is real. Government is real. What happens to you and your kids and your family and your nation is real. But the people are not involved in the reality. Now, Margie and I are going all across the country giving seminars virtually almost every weekend. We can't do it every weekend because we have, you know, private lives that are no longer private. We don't have much time for ourselves anymore. But we're finding that there is a small element within the American people that are waking up and are becoming very vociferous about their waking up, and they're taking action against government. And that's fine, you know, and I'm not preaching to the choir here. I'm not trying to preach to the choir, because your listeners and your audience is pretty well woken up too. We're not talking about people who have not woken up. The audiences have woken up. The people who attend the seminars have woken up. We're talking about the great mass of American people who have not woken up. And Einstein said it very well. You know, this is an evil world, an evil place in which to live. And it is not evil because of the evil. It is evil because of the people who do nothing about the evil. And the vast majority of American people let the evil go on and don't do a damn thing about it. And a few of us, like you and a lot of other people in the media who have been trying to do the right thing for a long, long time, are not getting tremendous support. And we have to support each other, and we have to expand the effort, and we have to deepen and broaden the effort if we're going to make any changes at all.
Well, not to offer an excuse to the American people, but the average Joe citizen out there is constantly being primed and pumped full of the Matrix propaganda.
Absolutely.
For instance, take the IRS, for instance. Every talking head on every local broadcast out there will remind you around April 15th it's time to file your taxes, where you can get your 1040 forms. And they always add the little thing that, well, you know, if you don't pay your penalties or your taxes, you may experience penalties or you may go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just not about the IRS system, but just about everything that has to do with government, people are misinformed. And there's this cognitive dissonance that goes on once they hear something that is contrary to the lifelong propaganda that they've been pumped full of. I don't Jack, I really don't hold it too much against these people to just all of a sudden go into catatonic brain fart because the message that we're giving them is totally foreign to them, something outside of something they'd ever heard before, and it's just all confusing. Life itself has become extremely complicated. It is better just to sit back, let the mid-managers handle everything, your money, your life, your property, everything, and they've done a fine job of hijacking all of them. But when it comes down to actually trying to understand this, they don't. And I'm not making excuses. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making excuses because there are people out there that are genuinely interested in the subject matter we talk about. But they sometimes just can't get their mind wrapped around it, especially being, you know, new listeners or people that are new into the refounding of America project, whatever you want to call this, restoration of the Constitutional Republic. They just can't seem to get any traction because they just feel like they're so far outside of this thing. And another thing, we have taught to be good little victims. We think of ourselves as being victimized, so therefore we are victims. And any good victim, well, they just continue to be victims. We're powerless. There's nothing we can do about it. So there's a lot of things that we're trying to push this boulder up the hill over. But I'm not, as I said, I'm not making excuses for the American people, but it's been all so damned confusing.
Yeah. It's very confusing, and as you say, yeah, deliberately, and life is confusing. But you broke out of it, John. Margie and I broke out of it early. A lot of other people have broken out of it. Now, if we can do it, anyone can do it. If you can do it, anyone can do it. It's just a matter of character, integrity, and concern for one's nation. You have it. We have it. Others have it. The vast majority of people don't have it. And the vast majority of people simply want to go along to get along. They don't challenge and they don't question. Okay? And that's a mark of a very, very regressive society. And frankly, I'm sorry to say I live in the United States of America. You know, I expected my country to rise above the fray and rise above the nonsense, and it hasn't done that. So the principles of the nation were solid principles. The integrity with which the nation was founded was admirable. Okay, there were some questions and very serious questions regarding the revolution, and that's not a subject of today's discussion. But unless you want it to be... But out of that revolution came a wonderful egalitarian document called the Constitution. But as usual, the people, and it's not only this nation, it's every nation on the face of the earth, ad infinitum, going right back to the very beginning, including Greece, the people never, 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 at any time throughout history, ever took charge of the government when they were given ample opportunity to do so. Now, this country, in the initial stages, gave the people the chance to take control of the government by direct control of the government and by direct constitutional mandate imposed upon the government through constitutional requirements. And within roughly the first 25 to maybe 40 years at the outside, the people of this republic tried to do that, but after being beaten down by Washington and his forces when he actually declared war on segments of the American people and use the American military to kill American people, after such horrific situations that occurred within the first 40 years or so after the founding, people just gave up.
Now, and what are you in reference to specifically? How did Mr. Washington see? And here, you want to talk about a disconnect here, a cognitive dissonance. You know, we talk about the founding fathers, we talk about the Constitution, the restoration thereof, but then we go up and talk about George Washington or Jefferson or any of the founding fathers, how they maybe had good motives, but they ended up doing bad things. Again, what kind of message are we putting out there? I'll have you answer that right after this break.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We are back. Jack and Margie, the thing I brought up before the break, I'm going back to my original statement about people being confused. If we are to return to the Constitutional Republic, and we have seen many articles written, many people with the what they consider the preponderance of evidence that these people were just all deist and none of them believed in God and all this other stuff, then how does it fit that these guys drew up a good document, and you know as well as I do that there are sections of the Constitution that are gaping holes, you can drive a tractor trailer through it sideways, but how does this fit, and talking about putting out a message to people, How does it fly that we can talk about the Constitution, the Great Republic, the Founding Fathers, but then turn around and do negative stuff on them?
I think we have to recognize truth.
Okay.
Because if we don't recognize truth, if we don't recognize reality, we are dealing with untruth and unreality and trying to address that, and we go down to the rabbit hole, and it never stops. So I think we have to look at the truth. Now, this is opinion. No one has to agree with my opinion because we all have opinions, and one opinion is as valid as another. However, if we want to talk about an effective nation, not a government, because the government is not effective except serving its own interests, if we want to talk about an effective nation of the people, we must take a look at the reality of existence of government. Man is flawed. Man has always been flawed. If man were not flawed, we would live in a wonderful society that probably within the past 5,000 years could have been 2 million more years advanced right now. Okay? Why? Well, people are inventive. People are creative by nature. Government suppresses that inventiveness, suppresses that creativity, and uses people only for workforce and economic power and military power.
Right.
So the people are considered chattel, slaves of the government, serfs of the government. Well, over roughly 5,000 years, and we can go back a million years, but let's talk 5,000 for the sake of discussion. Over the past 5,000 years, people have accepted that role, and they've given the credit to government. Okay? Now, government, by nature, is an evil force. It's a vindictive force. It's a sinister force or a satanic force. And that's not only the American government. I'm not limiting this to America. I'm discussing the entire world. If anyone knows of a truly wonderful government that ever existed in the history of mankind or exists now, let me know. Because I've never known of one. I don't think you do, John. I don't think anyone does. Because they never existed. Government by nature is a brute, evil, barbaric entity and always has been. So when you take a look at the American Revolution, do you think that ever changed? Of course not. People don't change. People never change. People are basically the same. Society may change somewhat in terms of technological advancements, but society never changes in terms of spiritual development and or social or human development. It regresses. Our society has regressed enormously. I mean, why do you think there's a possibility of nuclear warfare right around the corner? Well, if we were an advanced species, we wouldn't be looking at the possibility of nuclear warfare.
Well, and Jack, I'm not going to argue the point here of man's folly, because there are many lessons to be learned by the mistakes of others. And I remember,
exactly.
I remember a friend of mine used to have a poster above his desk at the University of Michigan, and it says, "Learn from the mistakes of others. You don't possibly have enough time to repeat them all yourself."
And but we do.
And that is true. But when we talk about the Founding Fathers, the Declaration of Independence, we talk about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights being put in there finally, we're talking about a government that should have functioned and did pretty well for a while. You know, we didn't have to deal with Reconstruction after the War of Aggression on the South. We weren't dealing with uniform commercial codes. We weren't dealing with a funny money system via the Fed Reserve private banking cartel. There were a lot of things that did not even exist when this country started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, to me, progress here is actually regression, taking steps backwards.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to belabor the point here about your statement about George Washington, because I asked you specifically to name certain instances where George moved on the people.
Well, number one, at the surrender at Yorktown, okay, Cornwallis did not go to the surrender. He designated his second-in-command, who refused. So it was the third-in-command of Cornwallis's army who went to the surrender. When that gentleman tended his sword in surrender to the battle, okay, not to the war, but to the battle, to Washington, Washington deferred to Hamilton, and Hamilton responded basically, "Sheathe your sword, sir, you may retain it." It was the mark of one Mason speaking to another Mason and the fellow of company Masons, all working for the same guy called King George. Now, when Washington became president, his real question as to whether he was elected the first president, his real question as to whether John Adams was elected the first president, and his real question as to whether there was a second ballot held.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Attention, friends of freedom and liberty. Our constitutional republic is under a vicious attack by the sinister forces of world globalization. The hour is late, and we must all actively engage our families, friends, and neighbors before it's too late. Now you can exercise your constitutional right of free speech with a statement t-shirt from the Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Wearing a statement t-shirt causes people to think, challenge, and debate what they've been spoon-fed by the controlled corporate media. There's no time to sit around in fear asking yourself, what can I do? Now is the time to make a strong public statement with one of the many t-shirts from Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Go to RBNLive.com's Freedom Store, NoTyranny.com, or call 800-724-2719.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Jack, you kind of got walked on there by the bumper. I kept telling the producer to turn the music up, and we ran right into commercial time there.
That's all right. We're familiar with that. Anyway, getting back to Washington and Hamilton, when Washington became president, and the questions remain unanswered as to whether Adams was elected president or not the first time around, and Washington second time around, there were schools both ways. Can we prove it? No, we really can't. There are accounts both ways. Which account is correct? We don't know. History is written by the victors, so you never really know what happened unless you were exactly there at the time and witnessed it, because mankind is not a truthful recounter of events. But what is a truthful account of events is that when Washington became president, he appointed Hamilton as his Secretary of Treasury. Okay? One of the first acts that Hamilton brought about, with absolute tacit approval of Washington and the Congress, with some dissent, was to create a central bank that was private with the money powers out of England, okay? Now, that is prohibited by Article 1 of the Constitution, all right? No central bank was ever supposed to be allowed in America. As you may recall, the colonies were extremely successful because they were dealing in scrip. They were extremely successful, very economically viable, and when Benjamin Franklin reported to King George in London one time in a direct answer to King George's question as to why the colonies were doing so well, Franklin said because of scrip. And that's actually what was one of the major causes of the Revolutionary War. England did not want to lose control. It wanted the pound solid. Well, the pound wasn't solid in the colonies. But after Hamilton declared and set up the first central bank with Washington's absolute approval, the American people were very dissatisfied with that because once you control a central bank, you control virtually all aspects of all economies.
Exactly.
So we went from a scrip economy to a private central bank by and through Hamilton with Washington's full support. Now, Washington also maintained the belief that the Bill of Rights did not apply to state citizens because they were not federal citizens. And this was later upheld by John Marshall in his famous decision, in which he, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, in which he declared the Bill of Rights invalid for state citizens because they are not federal citizens. So he upheld the Washington position. And in those times, the people, right after the Revolution, remember, they just fought a revolution. They went through about 8 years of turmoil, hardship, bloodshed, high inflation, all sorts of chicanery, until the Constitution was actually effectuated. Then the people thought they would have some reasonable government and reasonable actions taken by government. And the first thing government does is declare a central bank and the Bill of Rights not valid to state citizens. Well, a lot of the citizens took exception to that. And Washington took exception to their exception and attacked American farmers in Pennsylvania and Massachusetts and elsewhere. Now, you can find this information in the history books. It's not widely advocated. It's not widely proclaimed because this guy, Washington, was supposed to be, you know, our first founding hero. As far as I'm concerned, he was our first founding traitor. And virtually every president since that point on has been a traitor, with the exception of the Adamses and a few others, because they're maintaining the position and dominance over government against the people in contrary positions to all the rights guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. And they're doing it right now. If we take a look at Trading with the Enemies Act, okay, which has been with us since 1917, who's the enemy? The American people are the enemy. If you take a look at the Military Commissions Act, who's the enemy? The American people. If you take a look at the Patriot Act, who's the enemy? The American people. So what I'm trying to say is nothing changes with humanity. Humanity is always the same. It has the foibles inherent within every position in every age. And what happened during the Revolution was no different from the time of Herod or anyone else. Okay? So people are flawed, yet with that flawed nature, there were enough people during that Revolution who brought forth what I consider a wonderful egalitarian document. Now, I agree with you completely, and I've said this and I say this in the seminars all the time. The Constitution has gaping, not only holes but avalanches in it. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you take a look at Article 6, we cannot repudiate the debt. Well, where do you think the debt came from for the founding of the Revolution? Came from London. Came from King George, okay? And if you look at the Treaty of Paris, you'll see that that's the case. We owed the money that we received for the Revolution to King George, all right? So the conspiracy goes on and on and on. It's no different from any other time in history. The thing that I rely upon is the fact that I believe, and Margie believes, and I think I can't speak for you, but I think many people out there believe that the Constitution was a divinely inspired document. Did it have tremendous flaws? Absolutely. Could it have been written better? Absolutely. But it gave the government providence of the nation to the people, and it protected the people by and through the Bill of Rights. But you know what? The people dumped all over that Constitution, John. They tried to maintain it for 25 to 40 years. It didn't work. And since then, they haven't been doing a damn thing to maintain their rights guaranteed in that Constitution.
Well, and the way things were set up, you said at the outset, Jack, I mean, we're 40 minutes into this program, and you just made the admission that, no, it wasn't perfect. Yeah, divinely inspired, but yet the people didn't back it. But the tools were given to the people.
Yes.
In order to maintain control, not only of their local government, but their state government. And the Constitution was to serve as a guideline and a limit to the Fed in Washington, D.C. Now, I think probably one of the most egregious things that happened was after, it was, what, almost, 100 years later, when we had this marvelous, what they like to refer to as a Civil War, 2 years after that, we had Reconstruction. And I'm sure some of the Federalists were just rolling in their graves with laughter on this one. Because what it did essentially was centralize power in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. That's
now,
correct.
There's a lot of argument whether Abe Lincoln wanted that to happen or not. I've read a lot of things that he was absolutely opposed to that. And it's been suggested that a couple of reasons why he was killed off was, one, was the money. He used greenbacks during the Civil War to finance that. But it was also suggested that he wasn't going to go along with the Reconstruction, and he still, I do believe, probably would have been reelected president, and he would have been around for a little while. But those were the two main arguments against him being assassinated. But they got their Reconstruction. They got their centralization of power in Washington, D.C. But that even still was not that effective. We still enjoyed many, many years of freedom and liberty and prosperity. What took them so damn long to deconstruct it? If they had all the tools necessary then, what took them all this time to get it done?
Well, I think they've already gotten it done, and they got it done in the very beginning. If you take a look at the control, all right, the control remains with the money. It doesn't remain with the people. And if the people don't control the money, and of course the people don't control the money, then the people are subject to the whims of those who do control the money,
right.
Okay? And this is not the first central bank we've had. You know, the Federal Reserve Bank is not, by any stretch of the imagination, the first central bank we had. But if you take a look at the concept of the Constitution, now I'm talking the egalitarian part, the Bill of Rights, the humane part, the preamble to the Constitution. Remember, let's not forget the preamble to the Constitution. And let's not forget the principles of the Declaration of Independence. Had the people maintained those principles, we would be a wonderful society in which the people actually could control. I don't think there's anyone in this country, with very, very few exceptions, that really believes the people control anything. We have no control. You know, we're told we have control. Well, words are meaningless. I like to see the action demonstrated.
I understand. I want to open up the phone lines, 800-313-9443. Before I take any calls, though, I want to reference to Ed Brown. I understand that you've had conversation with this gentleman up in New Hampshire?
Briefly. Yes. Briefly. Not directly. Not
okay.
Directly. Ed is a good guy. Ed, I believe, has communicated with us in the past, but it's a long time ago. The only recent communication we've had with him was by and through a few radio programs in which other people were involved, and frankly, it was rather confusing. You know, too many cooks there, and not enough was done.
Well, I have found a way to eliminate that confusion starting Monday, and this, to my knowledge, it's the first time a network has ever done this, is put a man on air that's basically under siege.
Mm-hmm.
Starting Monday, and till further notice, the program will continue Monday through Friday, at 1 o'clock, that's 1 o'clock p.m. Central Time here in Texas, where we're on Central Time. Don't forget that. So make the adjustment wherever you're at in the country. He's going to be doing a show Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Central Time. He will be on Internet Satellite Shortwave at 12.180. And this was the best way because a lot of people had a lot of questions. and rather than use intermediaries, let me get that right, and secondhand, I figured the best way to have his message out there clear and have people question him personally was to have him do a program on this network. So that is starting Monday. So you folks out there, make a note of that. Ed Brown is a gentleman that it has been suggested to me that, well, it's money, it's about this, it's about that. No, it's about I've had enough of this stuff, and I'm not taking this anymore. Now, he has a lot to lose. A lot of people out there, you know, they consider whatever meager things they've gathered up in their life to be their possessions or something at least control for a short amount of time. But this guy's worth over $4 million. He doesn't live in a shack. His wife had a very successful dentistry business. He was no slouch. But he is doing this not for himself, because it would have been very easy. As a matter of fact, he even made the offer to the Fed. Said, look, you're telling me I owe $625,000. Okay, I'm going to pay you that money. I'm going to give you that money, but I want to be left alone. The response back from the state's attorney general and all involved there was, no, you need to go through court. What they were saying is you need to go through court so we can convict you, and then we'll penalize you. But they need their conviction. They got to slap this guy down. I'll dare him. But, folks, imagine, would you be willing to give up? I don't know how much the medium income is the listeners to this network or this program in particular, but could you imagine $4 million? The guy's worth $4 million. To him, it means nothing. It's gone tomorrow if that be the will of God or whomever. He doesn't care. He's doing this for everybody else. He has no agenda. I've known Ed, and I've talked to him on and off for 10 years. So we're going to do this. And I hope that people will tune in to this. And again, that starts Monday from 1 to 2 p.m., 12.180 on your shortwave dial. It'll be on the Internet. It'll be on the satellites. You're going to have an opportunity to listen to Ed Brown in his own voice, not somebody else interpreting for him.
John, that's the point right there. Congratulations for putting him on. And secondly, he's the one who should tell his own story. You know, we've spoken to too many people who are trying to tell Ed's story.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Ed who has to tell his own story directly from the horse's mouth.
And I was just going to say, right from the horse's mouth, you can't get any better than that.
That's correct.
And we can stop that instead of getting it from the horse's patoot.
Yes.
Exactly.
Straight from the horse's mouth or anybody else that wants to get involved. And there's a lot of well-meaning people out there. I'm not slighting anybody that's been, you know, talking to him and writing articles and putting blogs on the Internet and all that stuff. I'm not discounting you people out there, so don't get that idea. But I think it's best that people have the direct access to this guy. So, again, that starts Monday.
Our sentiments, exactly.
All right. Let's go to the phones here. Michael in New York, you're first up. Hello, Michael.
Hello, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I want to get right to the Revolutionary War, but because you mentioned Ed Brown, let me just say that I'm wishing Ed Brown all the blessings from the Almighty and protection. I wish we could all rally over there and keep him protected 12 months of the year until this gets resolved. You know, and I heard a couple call-ins over the last few days to Jack Blood's program from a lady saying she's Christian, and she says, well, didn't the Lord say this coin belongs to Caesar, render to Caesar what's Caesar, so we all should be giving our government, you know, their taxes? And it's unfortunate these Christians don't realize that in our country, we are the Caesar, not the government.
Right.
That's the framework here. And if it's a legal tax, hey, we'll all pay it gladly. But just like you're covering, this is an illegal tax, no law, and they can't justify a law. And yet, excuse me, and yet they're trying to extort it from us. So it's outrageous, and God bless you, Ed Brown. And I wish I could be there guarding your back 12 months out of the year.
Well, and the old thing is, we're going to huff and puff and blow your house down. Well, this is a guy that said, you know, you can blow as hard as you want. I'm not going anywhere.
God bless him. And, you know, and again, look, just to cover this, I remember when Paul Begala on an interview while Tommy Clinton was our president, and I heard it over the TV on an interview when he goes, he's talking about the taxes, and he goes, hey, you know, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. And I wanted to reach through that tube screen and grab that commie bastard by the neck and say, we're Caesars, you commie scumbag. Not your government.
Yeah, not the Caligula we have in there now.
or the one that he kissed butt to.
That's right.
Now, to the Revolutionary War, gentlemen, I think your guest is making some errors in his comments. First of all, Washington, if he was really sucking up to the British, why didn't he let himself become a king? He refused that, and they wanted him to be king. That's the first point. Now, the second point, after the Revolutionary War, they were broke. They learned from experience with the Continental Notes that they were worthless, and it was a futile attempt to try to generate a wealth. John, can I hang on over
yes.
the break?
Yeah, please do. And I'll tell you what, let me have Jack and Margie respond to your first point there. Because if we layer too much on, then we don't know where to go back to, and then everything gets all confusing. So I'm a simple guy, so let's try to keep it simple here. Hang on, Michael, Frank, Gary, Carl, Lauren, and others. We'll get to all of your calls right after this.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back. You're covering me up there. Uncover me. There we go. Michael, you had another point you wanted to bring up. First off, let me have Jack and Margie respond to your first point there.
Yes, why didn't Washington become king? Well, again, history is written by the victor. History is changed constantly. Unless you were there, you really didn't know exactly what happened. That's, again, the nature of mankind. The way I understand it, that what took place at that time was a propaganda effort by certain people who represented the Washington faction. Okay? But Washington had become so despised as a leader, both within the nation, meaning the people, and within government, that he was one of the most hated men in government at that time. And had he gone any further, he probably would have been impeached or assassinated. Now, he declared war on the American people. He actually attacked the American people. The American people were claiming their rights under the Bill of Rights. He didn't like that. The American people were demanding that the central bank be abolished. He didn't like that. Washington was an extremely ambitious fellow, and he had a voracious appetite for money. And one of the positions that he took when he became president was that he would not accept a salary provided the government paid his expenses. Well, his expenses amounted to something like $30 million a year, okay? Washington was draining the treasury, padding his own pockets, and padding the pockets of those who represent him. Now, any time the, let's say, the puppet gains, an unpopular position amongst the people and amongst the government, that puppet is removed. So Washington was removed. Pretty much as Bush, within probably the next 3 months or so, will be removed from office or will fall from grace. It happens all the time. It happened to Nixon. It happens to everyone. It happened to Johnson. That's just the way it works, folks.
All right, your second point, Michael?
Well, I'd like to just comment that if that's all true, then it's amazing how such a despised guy was able to keep the army together from attempted mutinies. And it was his sole presence that stopped every mutiny. And also, he's so despised, and yet they not only – and there was no such thing as a president, gentlemen. This position was an executive level, not a president. That's a new term. And for a guy so despised, it's amazing that they wanted to reelect him to the executive level, not just twice, but even three times, and that's when he said no. And we're all sovereigns in this country. Now – also, with the money, after the Revolutionary War was primarily to France and then to the Americans who provided the supplies, the horses, the food and stuff. And when they tried to start paying all this back, Benjamin Franklin already started coining money. I have copies of the original coins in silver and copper. And then they went to the Spanish real, pieces of eight, for their real money until they could get their own money established. So, and then the Americans that they fought against were all moonshiners. It was known as the Whiskey Rebellion, and Washington was anti-booze. Nobody in his army could even drink. Wine was okay because that's how they fermented the grape juice to preserve it. They didn't have refrigeration, but booze, he was anti-booze because it was so destructive for the health of the people. And so... now, that's all fact, guys. That's irrefutable fact.
All right, Michael, we've got a break. I thank you for your call. 800-313-9443. We'll continue this discussion with Jack and Margie Flynn right after this top of the hour break. We shall be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
the problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals?
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
the rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to RBN.